The archaeology stories today deserve more attention than they typically get in tech-adjacent media. Two separate posts, one from Science magazine with 167 points and 135 comments, and a New York Times piece with 12 points and 6 comments, are both covering the same underlying research finding, that an ancient Amazonian civilization may have been home to approximately 3 million people, living in a spatial footprint that represents only about 3% of the Amazon rainforest.
To put that in context, 3 million people in pre-Columbian Amazonia is a figure that would have been considered implausibly high by most archaeologists as recently as 20 years ago. The dominant historical narrative for most of the 20th century was that the Amazon was essentially pristine wilderness at the time of European contact, with small and dispersed indigenous populations. The evidence keeps revising that picture upward, sometimes dramatically.
The mechanism behind the discovery is important. Researchers are using a combination of LIDAR aerial surveys, which can penetrate forest canopy to reveal ground-level structures, and analysis of anthropogenic dark earth, what the indigenous communities called terra preta, which is essentially soil that was deliberately modified for agriculture over centuries. These soils retain fertility for hundreds of years and serve as reliable markers of sustained human habitation.
The geoglyph findings in the New York Times piece add another layer. These are large geometric earthworks, circles, squares, and other shapes that are only visible from the air. The fact that they existed at all required either aerial survey technology or forest clearance to discover, which is why they went undetected for so long. The HN comments on the Science piece have an interesting thread about what this implies for our understanding of soil science and sustainable agriculture. The terra preta techniques these civilizations developed produce soils that remain fertile 500 years later.
The HN thread also gets into the political and ethical dimensions of these discoveries. Several commenters note that knowledge of large pre-Columbian populations has implications for indigenous land rights debates in Brazil today. It's not purely an academic question.
There's a beautiful and haunting piece in today's lineup that connects thematically, even if unintentionally. Ray Bradbury's 1950 short story, There Will Come Soft Rains, is circulating on HN today. It's a story about an automated house that continues its daily routines after the human family living in it has been destroyed. The house announces breakfast, reminds its absent owners of appointments, reads poetry. The automation persists after the humans it was built to serve are gone. It's a meditation on technology outlasting the civilization that created it. And given everything else on the board today, AI self-improvement, ancient civilizations recovered through remote sensing, it lands with more weight than it would in another week.
The Microsoft interview failure post is getting disproportionate engagement relative to its score, 78 points, but 138 comments, which tells you the comment to upvote ratio is high. The author writes honestly about going through a rigorous technical interview process at Microsoft, performing reasonably by their own assessment, and not getting the offer. The piece isn't bitter. It's reflective. What's resonating in the comments is the author's observation that interview performance and job performance are measuring different things, and the gap between those two measurements is a real cost that the industry hasn't fully reckoned with.
Several commenters share parallel experiences. People who failed prestigious technical interviews and went on to do excellent work elsewhere, and people who aced interviews and found the actual job disappointing relative to the signal the interview sent. It's one of those HN threads where the collective wisdom of the comment section is genuinely more useful than any individual piece.
And then there's Windows XP for Atanium. This is a retro computing deep dive. Someone actually got Windows XP 2002 running on Atanium hardware and documented the experience. The Atanium was Intel's attempt to make explicitly parallel instruction computing, or EPIC, the future of high-performance computing. The architecture required compilers to figure out parallelism at compile time rather than letting the processor do it at runtime. It was a bold technical bet that the industry ultimately rejected, and the post title, Unbridled Rage, gives you some sense of what the user experience was like.
The HN comments are a mix of people who worked on Atanium-era software and have war stories and younger developers encountering this chapter of computing history for the first time. There's genuine affection for failed hardware architectures in this community. The Atanium represents a path not taken, and path not taken stories have a particular hold on engineering imagination.
See Kermit is another path not taken story in a different key. Kermit is the file transfer protocol that predates the internet's dominance. It was how you moved files between machines in the dial-up era. This year marks its 45th anniversary, and there's just been the first new See Kermit release in 15 years. The post about maintaining a decades-old See codebase is genuinely interesting from a software archaeology standpoint. The team kept the codebase alive through decades of platform changes, and their reflections on what that actually involves. What to modernize, what to leave alone, how to maintain a project that no longer has active commercial backing. Apply to anyone working on long-lived systems.